You're listening to CKEW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Our frequency celebrates diversity. For a full program schedule, go online to ckuw.ca to listen more.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Folks, it's Friday afternoon, which means it's time for another edition of Let's Play DJ. This is the show where every week I have a different guest on to talk about music they like and listen to it. My guest today is no stranger to these airwaves, or any stage, frankly, in most cities in North America. It's one of the hardest working people in music right now. My guest today is Sean Burns. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Jacob.
Let's Play DJ.
Beauty.
How's it going?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. We are pre-taping this. It's Thursday night. This is going to air tomorrow, I think.
Are you in your basement too?
I'm in my attic.
In your attic? Yeah. It looks like you got a good setup.
It's okay. I mean, you do too, frankly.
It's not bad, yeah.
I bought my house from some strange woman who lived here alone, and this was her like gallery.
Oh,
and
cool.
She did like gothic art, and this is an audio medium, so this will mean very little to anyone listening. Yeah. But this room is painted entirely black.
Yeah, it looks like a rehearsal space almost. Yeah, the listeners should just know that we both have great setups right now.
Yeah, we're both using pro audio gear.
Pro audio. We're not downtown in the studio. Thank you for accommodating my schedule, by the way.
Of course. No, I've been meaning to do this for years.
I'm a fan of the show. I've been a fan since you started.
Oh, thanks, man.
I genuinely try to tune in as often as I can. I sent you a message there at Fun Drive. I thought you do a great job, and the concept of the show is great, and I'm happy to finally do it. It felt weird before because I was playing DJ for 2 hours a week every week, and now it's been a while, so I feel like I'm fresh. I'm back.
Let's just jump in. As you know, you picked the songs. You sent me a playlist.
Yeah, I don't even remember what's on there.
Do you wanna just go from the top? We got a Merle Haggard tune first.
Yeah, let's do that. Do you want to talk about it first or talk about it after?
Let's talk about it now. Tell me about it.
Well, Saturday, April 6th at the Times Change High and Lonesome Club, home base for me for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're doing a tribute to Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard was born and died on April 6th on his birthday. And he was the whole reason that I am where I am today. I was a country music fan as a kid, you know, new songs and knew some artists, but I was about 15 years old when I was like fully just fell in love with it. And this is the song that brought me to it. And it's like, you know, I say it all the time. It's like, I didn't find this, I wouldn't have found that, and then that and that, and then got myself here and there. And it's all because of Merle Haggard. And I'm really excited to do. We're doing two shows, 7 and 10 p.m. and got a great band, big band, biggest band I've ever had, 7-piece band. So nice. We're gonna play about 26 Merle tunes, and this one is, you know, this one's my favorite. Yeah.
All right, I'm excited to hear it. Today's big city.
Too much work and never enough play. And I'm tired of these dirty old sidewalks. Think I'll walk off my steady job today. Turn me loose, set me free. Somewhere in the middle of Montana. Give me all I've got coming to me. And keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city, turn me loose and set set me free. For anything I've done, there's folks who never work and they've got plenty. Think it's time some guys like me had some fun. So turn me loose, set me free, somewhere in the middle of Montana. Give me all I've got coming to me, and keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city, turn me loose and set me free. Hey, big city, turn me loose and set me free.
That was Big City by Merle Haggard, and so let's play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with Sean Burns.
Good to be here.
Yeah, man. And so that's actually a great segue, because you were sort of saying before we heard that song that this song was sort of like your gateway to country music. And that was my first question for you, is just, you know, how and when did you start getting into this type of thing? What started you to get here?
My father was a musician.
He was a musician.
He wasn't like, you know, the guy who played guitar at holidays and stuff. He was on the road, and he was an intense man. He was on the road hard from 1977 to 84. I was born in 83. He was on the road when I was born. And then he kind of took a break and didn't play for about 5 or 6 years. And then he came back to it. And so by the time I got to high school, everyone had been, you know, encouraging me, you should play guitar. Your dad could teach you. I was like, I don't want to be like my dad. And I'm like 13. I don't want to be around my dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got to high school in 1997, and I met some guys that played drums, a guy that played guitar, and they were terrible. And I thought I could be that terrible too, like right away, probably. So I went home and I said, I always did have a fascination with the electric bass. Like, I always thought the bass player was cool, which is like, you know, you come to find out years later, that's usually not the case. But I was like, I want to play the bass player. I think that's a pretty cool position. So I said to my dad, I want to play bass. And then he was smart enough to know that I was 13. So instead of buying me one, he borrowed one from a friend of his that he played with and see if I liked it. And I took to it right away. And I started playing, and I was, you know, I grew up in the 90s. I was like big into, well, I loved Black Sabbath, but I also loved, like, you know, Chicks Dig It and Blink 182 and NoFX. I still love NoFX and Bad Religion, listen to them almost every day. Like, I still love that music. So I was kind of into all that stuff. And then I got a job at the local country bar. They had bands 5 nights a week still, 1999. And I was hearing, you know, the 90s country. And some of it I liked and some of it I really didn't like. But then sometimes early in the week when there would be no one there at the bar, they would play traditional country music. And then I was like, hey, Dad, do you know the song? And he was like, yeah, that's Merle Haggard, or that's a Hank Williams song. And he had all that stuff in the basement. So I got that Merle Haggard cassette, and that Big City was the first song on side one. And I listened to it over and over and over and over again. And, you know, somehow connected to the songs and the material, even though it was like way above my years. Like, you know, I think even at that point, I knew I was destined to be a bad alcoholic and a lonely guy. And it was, you know, foreshadowing. And then, you know, Merle had songs of redemption and cleaning himself up. I mean, I'm a sober guy now, but there was a long time when I was a bit of a train wreck. So all that stuff really resonated with me at an early age. And then from Merle Haggard, I found Buck Owens and Wynn Stewart and Red Simpson, all the Bakersfield stuff. And it just kind of started from there, you know, and by By the time I was 17, I was gigging full time. People would call my dad for a gig. He said, I'm not going to play there. That place is horrible, but I think Sean's ready to go. and he would sub those out to me. And then I could keep going on forever, but yeah, that's how it happened. And wow. Here I am. It's been a long haul. It took me a long time before I got like a real good gig, but I never quit. You know, I was stubborn and just always felt like this is what I was supposed to do. And country music was the thing I loved the most.
Hmm. Wow. That's such a pure origin story.
yeah. Like, man, so like those guys were on the road when I was born. I was born in Kitchener, Ontario. My mom's from Saskatoon, and that's where my folks met at the band house of the gig. Right. Mm-hmm. And so my dad's out there with the guys in Saskatoon. I'm born in Ontario. They drove home after the gig. It was their last gig. They drove home and picked me up in the band van from the hospital.
Wow.
Different times.
Yeah.
Totally. It wasn't like that when we took our kids home.
Yeah. They gave you the booster seat talk and, mm-hmm. and they like make sure you're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like that in 40 years ago. So and then man, the first gig I did, I'll never forget, like some really like, you know, low life musician stuff happened with the guys I was with. Like sure. Probably shouldn't talk about it on the radio.
Sure.
And I remember I was 17 years old, like just freshly. And I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, this is your chance. Like, you don't have to do this. Like you did it. You did this weekend. It was cool. You've seen what it's like, what it could be like. Do you really want to be like, do you really want to do this? Mm. And then I remember, like, I'll never forget. I was like, I do. Like, you know, I'm not going to be like that guy.
Yeah.
And so here we go. I just, you know, and do anything I could to scrape a living out of playing music.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the dedication that folks talk about. It's funny. I had a similar experience, but opposite, where like, you know, toured a bit, you know, did the thing, and still do sometimes, but mm-hmm. also realized early on, be like, oh, I don't want this as badly as someone that maybe needs to.
Yeah. But you know, to further that is like when I got the gig playing with Corb, that was the end of 2021. Like I thought that I was like the most focused and dedicated person with music that there could be. And then you find out quickly that there's a whole other layer. Like you and I have like, you know, like I have a wife and I have a kid and I have a mortgage and pets and like a yard that needs to be cleaned and like all that. I think about all that stuff, but I met Corb and all the fellas that he's really close with that we meet and roll with in the States, like John Evans and Hayes Carl and these guys, they're like, their singular focus is their career. Like, how do I get more people to know about me and how do I write better songs? And it's like Corb doesn't have a kid and good, like he shouldn't, like he's, and he's got to the point where he's at because he's so serious about it. So I was like, oh man, am I a pretender? It's like, no, I just want it all.
Yeah.
I just want it all.
Totally.
It's a tough balance. You know, we're on the road like 26 weeks this year in total or something. Wow. It's like half the year.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. I have a wonderfully supportive wife.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk lots more about this Corb gig, but maybe let's get another song.
Yeah.
You want to just keep going down the list here?
Yeah, is Carter Felker next?
Yeah, one of my faves.
Carter, do you know Carter?
Not well. I don't know him personally. I love his music.
I love him. He is my favorite song, and I'm not a big singer songwriter type of person, but man, I love Carter. He's a good friend. He writes sad songs. He writes truthful songs. Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people polish up, you know, or try too hard to be positive, and great. We need positivity, but Carter gives you like the book version, not the movie version of the story, you know? And I love it. And there's a line in the song and I laugh and cry every time I hear it. Like, he's my favorite. He's got a new record coming out, I think in September. It's called Loser. It's fantastic. He's going to be coming to Winnipeg in September to play a show. So, awesome. Yeah, this would be great. Carter Falkers.
All right, here's Ski Mask.
Well, the plan's been hatched since the week before last. Kathleen left and she ain't come back. Bet my last dollar on a horse named Cat. You can guess what happened with that. So I board a ski mask and my roommate's gun. Gonna go downtown in the morning sun. Find a teller at the credit union. Say, give me the money, I won't hurt no one. Oh, it'll be easy. You ain't gonna see me stuck in your TV on the morning news. The guy who bought my dirt bike, he's got a friend on the inside, and he knows just what I aim to do. Cause I'm sick and tired of living hand to mouth on a borrowed mattress in a broke down house. If I had some flow, I'd go down south, start a new life all by myself. Or I could bust my ass for a dime a day, but you don't get rich on honest pay. So I'll take it all and be on my way. Now listen closely to what I say. I need a driver who ain't got no prior. So you're hired, and here's what we'll do. I took my brother Jimbo, 88 Fiero, flies like an arrow, fast and true.
Good. Oh man, from his record Even the Happy Ones Are Sad, that was Carter Falker with Ski Mask. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and I'm here with Sean Burns. And
it's call me a doctor, call me my mother, I'm bleeding pretty bad. every time like I listened to the song two nights ago, and same thing every time, man. It's I love that guy. He's great, you know, his records aren't particularly sweet sounding, and he doesn't care, and I wouldn't want him to be. You know, his primary focus is making songs that he's proud of, he inspires me, you know. He's great. He's just great. And
and he hosts like a weekly songwriter show too, right?
Every Sunday afternoon at the King Eddie in Calgary. It's a brunch thing at 11:30, and it's like, I don't know if you've ever been to the King Eddie. It's super sterile corporate thing, and people will come, and they're literally sitting in the front table with their backs to Carter and the guest, and he doesn't care, but people come, like people do come, and he gets good guests, and it's a nice gig, and you know, you get a little money, you get a little food. It's pretty civilized situation.
I wish we had a gig that combines all my favorite things, like to play a gig in the daytime.
Yeah, you get families can come and like, you know, and it's decent food. And yeah, that it's a good thing. He's got that locked in. And him and his partner, Amy Nelson, they've been together since they were like teenagers. You know, Amy was his best friend's little sister. and they do a thing called the King Eddie Opry once a month too on a Thursday night where they do the thing and bring a guest out. And so, yeah, they're quite plugged in that scene in Alberta and Calgary, especially. And but he's my favorite. He's just, I could talk. I love the guy so much. I really do. I talk to him every day. He's one of the people every day. It's like, how are you doing? Are you okay? He sent me his new record and I had to phone him. I'm like, is everything okay? You okay? Really tapping into some stuff here.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, I'm okay.
Yeah. No, he's a genius. I think I'll try and get him on the show, maybe in the fall when he comes.
That would be great. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, we talked briefly, you sort of alluded to, you know, we started talking about sort of where you got your start and sort of kind of hitting the road and grinding ostensibly as soon as possible, as soon as you could, which, you know, is a feat in itself. And then alluding to this new gig with Core Blend, which I assume is slightly cushier than previous tours. Cause I always knew you as just fronting the Lost Country.
Yeah,
and touring a ton with that project, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and solo, like just to keep it going. But
right.
But the Corp thing is, I'll say it's a great job. He's wonderful to us. He treats us great. He's mm-hmm. really fair. It's great, but like we're leaving in a week and to do doing 26 shows in 32 days. Like we do 6 shows a week, and then on Monday we drive, and it's like it's a drive. It's like, you know, 6 to 9 hours, and then we wake up and we drive and we set up and we play. It's not, we just toured Canada where it's like we had 4 crew members and we had a bus and a, you know, big trailer and all the infrastructure and like, you know, and it was the cushiest situation I've ever been in. And we're going to go back to the van, 5 of us in the van, you know, our tour manager deals with the merch and he does in front of house for us. That guy's doing like 3 jobs and we load our own stuff in and we tear it down and we do it 6 nights a week. And it's like, it's, you know, but the shows are all great. Like his fans are passionate fans. It's not, you know, even if we play, you know, some places in America, we play a room like the size of Times Changed. Sometimes often it would be like the Pyramid or the Park Theater size, like 500-600. Mm-hmm. And then in certain places, it's like we're playing the Burt, like in Montana and Wyoming. It's like, it's big time. But we just grind super hard and everyone's listening to everyone at all times and everyone's held accountable for their moves on stage.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's everything I always wanted. Like everyone's super serious and it's like, my wife was like, you guys are all super intense. Like, like she came backstage at the Burt last month. She's like, I don't, well, you guys are just all way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, everyone's ready to go. It's like, everyone's ready to go.
When you say everyone's like responsible for their moves on stage, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's like not uncommon in a sound check for someone to be like, don't play that. Like, why are you playing that? Mm. That doesn't work. And you have to be like, oh, okay. Like, and trust the everyone's, you know, they're all like, it took me a long time to be like, no, I can have a voice here too. Like I'm going to play this or whatever. It's like Grant Siemens has been in the band for 21 years. He's an amazing guitar player.
Yeah, he's Grant Siemens.
Yeah. And him and I are really good friends. So there's this other dynamic there. And then the drummer joined the same time I did. Him and the original drummer who's been there for over 20 years kind of split it. But this other guy, Lyle Molzan, he's a heavy hitter. He's a sniper. He's like big, you know, studio guy. And he played, you know, plays with David Wilcox and he played with Kathleen Edwards and Jan Arden and like all these, you know, Canadian people and pop country stuff, but he's just a killer. Like, and so I'm so lucky to play with those guys, but everyone's, you know, like, if things aren't super tight, it's addressed.
Yeah, and
it's
totally, you know, and so is the set changing every night?
Oh yeah. Like we have no idea. He tells us the first song sometimes as we're walking on, and that's only because I have to know, am I playing upright bass or electric bass? And then Grant has like 5 or 6 different instruments over on his side. Right.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? And then, and this is a little inside. I don't know. I've told a lot of people, Corp talks about it now, but he's got like hand signals, like a baseball coach for the songs. So he's got hand signals for the instruments. So I know if I'm playing electric or upright. Grant knows if he's playing like baritone, mandolin, steel, or electric guitar.
Right.
And then there's hand signals for the songs that Corp doesn't start himself. So you know, here's the songs we're going to do, and then the hand signals. And then the new record, it was like, what are the hand signals going to be? We kind of worked all those up together. So that's wild. Yeah, because he just turns around. So it's like you watch, you're watching him all the time.
Right.
When the song is about to end, I'm watching, and it's so, like, okay, what are you doing? He'll kind of make a turn, and he'll give you a sign, and then you know what's coming.
Because like, you know, sometimes when you tour, especially, you know, it depends on the gig, but like if you're doing the same set more or less every night, you sort of get into this zone where you're almost like sleepwalking through it. So mm-hmm. That is not the case on this tour.
Oh no, yeah. No. There's a handful of songs that you know we're gonna play, and then right. There's certain songs, you know, we're going to play regionally only.
Right.
And then, you know, like we did a tour last year and we're going to do another one here in the spring with the Dead South. And
oh, yeah.
we get like 35 or 40 minutes. Right. So that gets to be more of the same thing. Cause he's like, well, I got to do like the hits, you sure. know, for the people that have never seen us before.
Sure. Some folks would suggest that it should really be the other way around, that the Dead South should get 40 minutes. Well, we won't get into that. That's fine.
Yeah. And those guys play the same set every night.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
where we were just like, how do you guys do that? But they got a big show and all, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But but we, you know, didn't mix it up near as much with that. And then it kind of feels, then you get bored. And like, now I don't even write set lists for my own band. Like I can't, I'm so used to this, like, you know, read the room thing. And honestly, played like, I don't know, over 200 shows with the guy already. And I don't think I've seen him miss call a song more than once, you know, it's amazing. He'll do weird stuff. Like he'll start a show, like not say anything, like we'll go on. We were playing in Tomball, Texas, like just outside of Houston at the Main Street Crossing. This is great. This is so Core Blund. And he started with three songs, like total mid-tempo, almost the same tempo, all in the same key, didn't say a word. Just started, boom, ended, next one, ended. And the third one, I started laughing. I'm laughing out loud.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, hey, how's it going or whatever? And people started losing it. And then it was like, we started beating them up with you know, with fast songs. It was like, you just love creating this weird tension. And it made me think like, yeah, you can do whatever you want really mm-hmm. with your show, you know,
totally.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah. And I get stuck in this thing where I'm like, I can't play too many slow songs. And like, that's why this Merle Haggard thing is going to be great, because it's like a ton of mid-tempo songs. And mm-hmm. it's me that has to get used to it, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't think people need to get beaten over the head endlessly. And I think that was what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
It's an art form in itself, right? Just mm-hmm. like running a crowd and being able to sort. I mean, to have the flexibility to sort of react to how people are feeling in that night and sort of change the set, I think is pretty cool. How many How many songs do you have to know?
Oh, I mean, we probably know about 80 that we rotate through. I mean, the guy's got like 10 records, and then a couple of records of like cover tunes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, they used to run through more because. All the guys in the band, the guy that I replaced was in the band for 24 years. Like,
wild.
So when I started, it was maybe 50. And then we made a record and he's constantly, you know, we're going to do this song tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay. Give me a little more notice than that. But nope. That's what I mean. So we're doing it. Okay. Let's do it.
Oh, that's so cool. I could talk about this forever. Let's play another song. We got Amy Nelson next. So,
That kind of works with Carter there.
Perfect. Here's an Educated Woman. Woman by Amy Nelson. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob. I'm here with Sean Burns. It's 4:32 on your drive home. I have no idea what the weather is because we're not deep in this line.
It's nice.
Probably nice. It's nice.
It's probably pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song is awesome. Her vocal is awesome. I'm always jealous of couples who are both songwriters because I find, like, especially with lyrics, it's really hard to find someone that will honestly critique your work.
And they're both couples can do that.
Yeah.
I know
a few couples of songwriters and it's like, I'm all just so jealous of their ability to critique each other. Cause you can be like brutal.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they both hold themselves to a high standard and hold each other to a high standard. It's really, yeah. To see them go at it is pretty great. Yeah. Amy's coming to Winnipeg too. She's playing at Times Changed on Thursday, May 16th.
Nice.
So she'll be here soon and she'll be staying in the basement here, I think. So
Yeah,
she's one of the few that's always welcome. She's such a captivating performer. It's like you know, I don't think people that don't know her, like she came open for us last year at some point, I think in the fall maybe. And just like people, you know, I don't think they expect it when they see her, like what they're gonna hear.
Yeah.
It's like you know, and she's great. And yeah, so
I mean, it's straight out of another time. Like it doesn't sound
like
contemporary music, which is so
not at all. Yeah. And she rolls usually with like a steel player and a drummer and like, kind of like, you know, kind of a nod to the like real traditional blues stuff where it was like no bass, you know, just the guitar and the drums sometimes. And that's, she loves that stuff and she does it great. So, people should go to that show. Yeah. I'll be there. Not that that's a selling point or anything, but I'll be home for a couple of weeks in May and I'll be out at the Times Changed.
And you'll be at the Times Changed?
Yeah.
No.
Man, it's like since I got the gig and had the baby, it's like I don't go. I'm out of totally out of touch, right?
Yeah.
I used to think that people had kids and then they got lame, but then I just realized that it's like I'm tired at 7:30. I'm not going out unless it's like a thing, you know?
I know it's exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy shift in perspective in all ways.
Yeah, I come home and I'm like going to bed by like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'm back on the road, it's like I'm up until 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I flip the switch and I go right back to it, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I try to make a point to go do some stuff, especially when people from out of town come through, you know, and it's tough. Winnipeg's often tough for an out of town band.
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's tough for a local band sometimes. And especially down there downtown at Times Change, sometimes it can be tough for an out of town band. So, and John's good about giving him a Thursday night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he books, if you're good, he'll book you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it remains, you know, hopefully there's a conference in town or something. And some
yeah. Yeah. Just got to get those people there. Man, when Amy came, she opened for us and then she at Times and she played Park Alleys.
Nice.
And then she opened for, I think she opened for Matt Foster at the West End.
Oh, nice.
And before the Park Alleys thing. And then she did a little house concert on the way out of town. So she did 4 shows here and I think she made a good impression. So hopefully people come and check it out. Like she just crushes it out West, like in Calgary. Like it's like, she's like the young kids, like young people really are into it. And then she also has the, like, you know, older crowd.
Yeah. Alberta's interesting like that because in so many ways, like I don't identify with the culture at all, but then, music, there's something going on there musically where it's like, it mirrors Winnipeg in a way, but there seems to just be more patrons.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because, you know, for so long there was, you know, maybe more money, but there's a lot of places to play. But what the primary difference for me is obviously, like, you know, is the quality. Like they're so supportive, overly supportive out there sometimes. And there is some great singers and songwriters and players, but like not like we have here, right? Like, you know, exactly, you know, and it's true. Like it's true.
Yeah.
So that's where they all want to come here. That's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. What can we play in Winnipeg? I'm like, I don't know. Can you? I hope you can.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about being a dad. We both became dads around the same time, it sounds like. I'm curious, like, I know for me, it sort of hasn't fully, maybe, I haven't fully figured out how yet, but just my relationship with like music and like songwriting, it's changed. I don't know how, but it has. I'm curious what your experience with it has been.
How has yours changed?
I think I'm more precious with my time. The time I have alone, like mm-hmm. full and alone and guilt free. Because I can take time alone, but then my wife's with the kid, and then I feel guilty that I'm not helping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's
totally.
It's like the time that he's like asleep when there's nothing. You know, I find I have to be more efficient.
No, me too, for sure. Like I used to spend so many hours listening to tons, like, you know, I would get tons of stuff sent to me, and I was on all kinds of mailing lists for stuff for when I was regular hosting radio. And so I really spend the time listening to like be up to date with everything that was coming out. And it's kind of felt good to not be doing that anymore. You know, I've recently started digging back in and paying attention. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like guilt-free, quiet, alone time is hard to come by. And sometimes I don't want to have to like intently listen to music, you know? Mm-hmm. And our little girl's, she's got a lot of spirit. She knows what she wants and she's not afraid to shout it out at you. So she knows all the kids' songs. She like knows the words and wants to hear them. And so, you know, we listen to those a lot. But I've, you know, indoctrinated her into, she knows some country music songs and has seen the ones that she likes, you know.
I know it's this constant struggle of like, I'm so happy you're excited about music, I'm so happy you want to listen to songs, but I would love it if we didn't listen to Raffi today.
But you know, I get so much time sitting in the back of that van to listen to music and do stuff, so maybe, you know, when I'm home it's definitely different. And you know, to try to find something that we all will be interested in or all able to listen to. So, but yeah, it's tough. But when I find something that I like, if I find a song that I like, I'll listen to it like 20 times in a row, back to back, you know, and then find things I don't like about it. But then still be like, no, something I'm hooked on, you know, on whatever it is. And actually the next couple songs that I sent you are that. Yeah.
What a segue. It's almost as if you've done this before. listen to this Pat Reedy tune.
Yeah, Pat Reedy, he's great. He's you know, he and a few other people, Jeremy Pennell and Ags Connolly and Kelsey Walden, they're singer songwriters, but they really veer into the like into their country music thing. You know, it's like they're sort of true to that kind of you know, gritty, rootsy country thing. And I don't know where Pat's from. I think he's from Chicago originally. He's been in Nashville for a while. He might be going back to Chicago. But so, do you know the Western AF? People, they're kind of like they like do a lot of field recording stuff, kind of like the B&B thing here in town, but sometimes less organized, maybe. I don't know, like, you know, but
they got it together, they really got it going on.
They do great work. And the Western AF dudes do too, but they're like maniacs from Wyoming, right? They're just like but they're great. They're great people, and they make good videos. And they made a video with Pat for this song before the record was released, which came out on March 16th, I think. And this is one I watched the YouTube video like 50 times. And then I've listened to this over and over again. I just think it's great. He's got some real juicy lines. He's good with the words. He's, you know, it's a little rough around the edges, but I'm a big, big Pat Reedy fan.
Cool. Here's Long Drives and Lonesome Mornings.
Through my windshield, leaves the dust to shine a gray. About an hour south of Amarillo, staring down the same interstate. If you're long drives and lonesome
good. Those long drives and lonesome mornings by Pat Reedy. You listen to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm here with Sean Burns.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you. Yeah. And Pat Reedy, yeah, he's got a new record. It's great. It's great. It's, you know, and I think you can tell by what I've chose for the most part. Like, I'm okay with, like, you know, kind of crappy sounding recordings. Like, I also love beautiful sounding records, but I like to hear people in a room, you know, I don't know, for lack of, you know, organic, I guess, for lack of a better term. But, you know, it's like, yeah.
No, I'm the same. You know, it's funny. I tinker around with demos and stuff, and I recently downloaded a bunch of like plugins, like the mm-hmm. Universal Audio fancy stuff. And I was putting it, I'm not much of a mix engineer or anything, but I was, you know, playing around with them, and it just makes everything sound so shiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of turned me off. Like, I'm the same. I want to hear the room. I want to hear people reacting off each other.
Yeah, fingers on strings or, mm-hmm. you know, mistakes sometimes, or someone who's maybe not the best singer. Like, mm-hmm. it took me a long time to, you know, to be like, well, that's, you know, someone's like, that's the person's voice. Like, you can't trash the voice that they were given. Like, they're just doing their best or whatever. It's like, well, you know, I love to hear, you know, a beautiful singer for sure, mm-hmm. for sure. But when someone's singing a song they wrote and, I don't know, with intention and sincerity, it's hard to beat that.
Well, you know, and a song like that, like, you know, they're not reinventing the wheel with the arrangement or the instrumentation, no. right? Like, it's been done. Mm-hmm. It's been done to death, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And the whole record is kind of, you know, a little more up-tempo than that, but like, it's very much that, you know, but like I said, there's little juicy nuggets there lyrically and in his tunes. And he looks like a guy that just like walked off of a construction site and walked on stage. It's just a guy, you know, just a guy. It's not a lot of sex appeal. Yeah,
we have been chatting a lot, and we have not gotten very deep down this list. So I want to just go to another song and try and fit in as much as we can. This next artist I don't recognize, but the band name is incredible: Nicolette and the Nobodies.
Yeah, they're out of Guelph, I think, originally, and maybe they live in Toronto now. And I heard about Nicolette quite a long time ago. Saw some videos, and it seemed like they were kind of just like a scrappy country band. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this thing where some radio person was sending out, you know, new records they were representing, and I was like, Nicolette. And then I saw we're doing a festival in the summer that she's on as well, so I was like, I better listen to these new songs. And then this one is one that I listened to like probably 15 times yesterday. I was like, damn, she's a good singer. Like, this is good.
All right, here's The Long Way. yeah, that was The Long Way by Nicolette and the Nobodies, and you're listening to the last few minutes of Let's Play DJ here on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm here with Sean Burns. The harms in that song.
Nice, right?
Gorgeous.
Nice. Love the little drummer really sets up the tag at the end, too. It's pretty. That's the pro moves there. Yeah, that's a banger. It's like, sometimes it's just nice to have a feel good tune.
100%, 100%.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's, and yeah, just not, yeah, simple lyrics, but still, they still kind of hit you, especially with delivery like that. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
New record's coming soon.
Cool. I think we got time for one more. You want to do one more?
Yeah. Let's play the Corb song.
Killer.
Talk about it a little. How much time we got?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay. So the name of the record is El Viejo. This is the title track. El Viejo is what Tom Russell. He's a songwriter, still old, but he's in the 70s. But he wrote Navajo Rug with Ian Tyson. He wrote a bunch of Western songs. He's a real respected guy in the cowboy community. And that was his nickname for Ian Tyson, which means, I think, loosely translates to like old man or wise one or something like that. And, Ian had a great career, first in the folk clubs and in the village in New York City in the 60s, he's friends with Dylan. Dylan wrote Blown in the Wind, and Ian Tyson was like, if you can write that, then I can write a song. So he wrote Four Strong Winds. It's the first song he ever wrote, And he was, he loved Bob, but he always kind of like looked at him like an annoying little brother kind of thing, So he's like, you can do it, so can I. And then Ian and Sylvia had the folk thing, and then the Great Speckled Bird with the early sort of hippie country thing. And he's just such a great musician. Ian Tyson was a great player and a great singer. And then in the 80s, he kind of led this revival of the cowboy song, and then wrote a lot of them himself. And at some point in the early 2000s, he caught wind of Corb and they became friends, and he got like the Ian Tyson seal of approval, which is huge. Mm-hmm. And it was less like a mentor thing and more of a true friendship. But Ian was also stern and he passed away in September, I think September 2022, I think it was. Yeah. Anyways, he was really old and it was time, but it was sad. And Corb was sad, lost one of his good buds. And so he wrote the song about him, and there's all kinds of inside stuff, the Elko, Nevada Cowboy Poetry Gathering is like the big one for the cowboy. And those things are weird. I'll tell you, those are weird. And Elko was so hardcore for years. It was like, they didn't want to hire any professional musicians. So it was like, it was ranchers and farmers, and people would come and do their poetry and sing their songs. And it was this like real down home thing. And then Ian Tyson booked himself a show at the Star, at this bar across the street from it. And then after that, everyone showed up. And then after that, they just got bringing Ian down to Elko every year. Mm. So he mentions the Star, and there's another bar called Capriola's. And then there's this group of folks called the Outside Circle that weren't associated with Elko, with the gathering, but they just kept going. They just rogue like Ian did in the 80s. And now they're all part of it. And Corb goes every year. And so there's all kinds of little things in there that when we play this song in, New Mexico or Arizona or Utah or Wyoming or Colorado, people, they know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. And they go crazy. And we made this record in Corb's living room in Lethbridge. No electric instruments, no headphones, no amps, cool. No click tracks, no overdubs. Overdubbed some of the harmonies because I'm a loud singer. So we tried with me singing, but I just was like bleeding into drum mics and the upright bass. So I dubbed my harmonies, and we're all in a circle, and we just, spent 8-9 days at Corb's house recording this record. And
beautiful.
It's an acoustic record, but there's still some real intense rocking stuff. But this is a beautiful song, and it gets pretty emotional when we're doing it in certain parts of the Western U.S. And even when we were in Alberta last month, it's a beautiful tribute to Ian Tyson, who was snubbed by the Junos when he passed away. They didn't give him really any love. He was mentioned in like the New York Times and in the Grammys, but he didn't get any love at the Junos last year. And Corb mentions that every night on stage too, which is pretty great. But yeah, this is a great song. It's a great song.
Cool. Sean, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
If folks want to follow up with what's going on in your life, what's the best way to do so?
SeanBurns.ca, Sean Burns Music on the Instagram and the Facebook, and be at the Times Changed on Saturday night for the Merle Haggard birthday, death day celebrations.
Right on. Let's Play DJ airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. You can find us at Let's Play DJ Radio on Instagram or at Jacob Rodofsky on Instagram. Here is El Viejo by Corb Lund.
think you left us just in time. They're out of vodka, no more wine. I think you left us just in time. You know I hate to see you leave, but it ain't no secret you believed. You was meant for earlier days, wilder times and a freer range. So, oh, compadre, Lord, I know you was likely glad to go. I hope it's easier in time for those of us you've left behind. They ain't dealing blackjack down at Stockman's in Nevada anymore. And they wanna pay you 65, and that ain't hardly worth the playing for. All the scene was slot machines from wall to wall, the whole casino floor. Nobody hitting 17, playing against the dealer, that's for sure. Elko blues indeed. You know we did the best we could, but the shine was off the wood. We played up most all of your songs, but with you and Don and Baxter gone, that sure leaves some boots to fill. I'm not sure we ever will. But on a slightly brighter side, the outside circle guys, well, they're still tearing up the star, and Capriolas ain't that